Okay. So, look, we mentioned the Maharik's position that, right, the Maharik basically says that there are two layers to Chukos Akum. Right, there are things which are intrinsically problematic, which are idolatrous or related to promiscuity. And then there are things which are just make no sense, and then it's a problem of mimicry. Now, the one thing that I think, you know, when you're reading the sugya, that it's not evident is, okay, that's very nice, it makes sense, but why would you say that? I mean, what drives you to say that that's the nature of this prohibition? So the truth is, or that those are the layers, right? Why would you say Chukos Akum is, idolatry and promiscuity and things which make no sense? Right, like where would you come from? Right, where would you get? Why are these the factors in play? Okay, so it could just be that he gets it conceptually, but the truth is that it may be that he's also motivated a bit by the psukim. So if I, you know, just to like give you an idea, where do these come from? So if you look in Vayikra Yudchet, so what's Vayikra Yudchet? When do we read Vayikra? Right, what is Vayikra Yudchet? What does that parak talk about?
That's Parshas Vayikra.
So Vayikra Yudchet is Achrei Mot, right? Vayikra Yudchet and Chaf both talk about the Arayot. When do we read it?
So
Yom Kippur at Mincha.
Do we read that Torah?
No. No.
What's Simchas Torah?
Oh, okay,
I mean, yes. Partial. What? No. What?
Simchas Torah?
We read Vezos HaBracha.
I meant Ten Commandments.
Yeah, we don't read that on Simchas Torah.
Yeah, we don't
read that. But at Yom Kippur, at Mincha, we read the Parsha of the Arayot.
Right,
the Arayot. Now, how does the Parsha of the Arayot start? So, it starts with this. So, Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ani Adonai Elohechem. Right, speak to the Jews and tell them I am God. K'maasei eret mitraim asher yishavtem ba lo ta'asu, k'maasei eret kenan asher ani mevi etchem shama lo ta'asu, v'chukodehem lo te'lechu. Right, that which the Egyptians do, or that which the people of Canaan do, don't be like them, don't walk in their ways. And mishpatai ta'asu, v'chukotai tishmeru, l'lechet bohem ani Adonai Elohechem, follow my laws. U'shmartem et chukotai v'nishpatai. Follow my laws, which I've commanded you, and you'll live through them. Now, if you just read those five psukim, what would you say the problem with b'chukotei motelechu is? Yeah, meaning, right, so far there's no context. So just those five psukim, if you read them, you would say, don't do their laws, instead do the Torah's laws. Right, so that notion that the problem of Chukot Akum is mimicry, right, or is or maintaining distinction, right? Remember, we talked about two models may emerge from these psukim, right? Meaning, a quick read of those psukim, right, indicate that what is it? Don't do what they do. Do what I want you to do, right? Meaning, maintain distinctiveness,
right?
So that first layer from just those five psukim may indicate that, but the next pasuk is ish ish et kol she'er bisaro lo tigravu lo galo dervani adonai. The next pasuk is, as I said, the parsha of the arayot, which is right arayot, right? Don't sleep with all the different forbidden relationships.
Right.
Now, once you add the context in, what does it sound like the maaseh eretz mitzrayim is?
Promiscuity.
So when the Maharik says that one of those things which is classic Chukot Akum that you have to be worried about is promiscuity, where is he getting it from?
The Torah.
Because the Pesukim in context, right, if you take the bigger project, are talking about, exactly. Now there are certain, according to the Rambam, there's at least one sexual act that is only prohibited because of Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim and not because of anything else. Right? Meaning all the other arayot are, right, it may be generically prohibited because of you know, being like the Egyptians, but it also has a specific prohibition. What is the one sexual act that according to the Rambam has no prohibition except don't be like the Egyptians and the Canaanites? So according to the Sifra, which the Rambam quotes, is lesbianism, right? That it's not a formal erva, right? Presumably because there's no sexual act.
Right.
But the Rambam says it's biblically prohibited, based on the Sifra, because it's Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, right? Because it's right.
So it's actually their eyesight to be.
According to the Rambam, yes. Right? Right? I mean, I can read it for you.
Right.
Once I find it. I don't have my Rambam.
Oh, because only because of Mitzrayim, not because.
Right, meaning it's not an Erva.
Right,
correct, it's not an Erva, but that indicates, right, that already points in the direction of, right, of this Maharik, right? That there's something unique about sexual propriety that. That is, you know, the propriety is Jewish and the non-propriety is not Jewish. Right? And therefore, even if something is not a formal erva, right, things which are prust, right, are particularly promiscuous.
Right. Wait, but isn't...
Here we go.
Here. Today.
Right, it's this. This is the Rambam in Parakhof Aleph Halacha Chet of Isuri Bia. Right, Nashim Hamisolula Zubazu Aser. Right, women who
are attracted to
that. No, misolula. No. Okay, we should be clear here. Right, I don't mean attraction. Attraction isn't forbidden. Or there's no category for attraction. Right, misolula zubazu. They're fondling each other or something like that. Forbidden. Uchmase eretz mitzrayim ushusar no love should emar. Uchmase eretz mitzrayim lo tazu.
Well, I thought.
Right? Right, male. Right, obviously, now male homosexuality is a formal prohibition which carries the death penalty.
Right.
But female homosexuality is not. Right. Does not carry the death penalty, but according to Rambam, it's still biblically prohibited under this category, Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim. So, AB, we're in the middle of share. AB, we're in the middle of share.
Bro, a Russian needs matches for the kitchen at 39.
So, Matthew can give them.
No, but they're in my group. He has, because no one else
does. Okay. So go get it. Right, but that Rambam, right, based on the Sifra, already points in this direction, right? That, and again, when the Maharik says that something, because look, the fact that something which is idolatrous is Matzei Eretz Mitzrayim, is Chuko Seim Lo Sei Lecha, that makes a lot of sense.
Right?
Meaning, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that that idolatry is. is chukos akum, but the truth is that there's a pasuk for that too, right? So where is that? If I read you in Dvarim Yud Bet, right? Dvarim Yud Bet says as follows: Ki achrid Adonai elhecha ragoyim asher atav vashama lareshet otam yipanecha veyirashto otam veyashafta be'artzam. Right, when God drives away the nations who are there. Right, in Israel, and you drive them out, and you live there instead. He shomer locha pentinakeja achareim asher yishamdam mipanecha achareim yishamdam mipanecha. Right, don't get right ensnared by them. Ufen tidrosh lelehem leimor echoy avdu agoyim oyelat elohim vesei kein gamoni. Don't say how did they worship their idols, and I'll do the same thing. Lo tasa kein lanelecha ki chol to avad rasher sone asu lelohim ki gamet bneim bneim yisrofu lelohim. You have multiple psukim.
But it's teaching you the same thing.
No, it's not, right? I mean, that pasuk is talking about something else, right? Don't make a covenant with them. But in that context, what do you see? Right, the Torah is saying you might end up mimicking them.
Right.
How are you going to mimic them? Idolatry.
Right.
Right, so all these concepts, right? One second. So all these concepts, I just want to point out, right? The notion that following non-Jewish nations relates to idolatry or relates to promiscuity or that mere mimicry, right, might lead to potential idolatrous problems, which is the Ramah. Right? If I'm mimicking, it might actually be idolatry. Right? Or, right, and the notion that I don't want to mimic them to maintain distinctiveness. Right? A close read of the psukim. Right? I mean, it emerges from the psukim, right? All these concepts are in play. Or just to read you one more, and then I'll take your question, Max. Right? Vayikra Chaf, which is the second half of the Arayot, right? It's Yudchet and Chaf. Again, Ushmartem et kol chukotav et kol mishvotav v'asitem otam v'lo taki etchem haaretz ha'shanim v'etchem shama l'shevet ba. Right? Dwell, right? Keep my mitzvot. So the land won't vomit you out. V'lo telchu b'chukot agoy asher ani mishaleach mevneichem ki et kol eila suva kutzbam. They don't go in the ways of the nations because they did all of these terrible things. Right? Again, this is in the context of the Arayot. Right? Again, it's coming right after Isha Sherish Gavad Dodatover Vatodogila Chatu Yisur Yimutu.
Right.
So when we say that, you know, the potential issues in Chokot Akum are doing things which are idolatrous, or doing things which are related to promiscuity, or are mimicking the non-Jews for the sake of mimicry, and that might lead to idolatry, or that might be intrinsically problematic because it means you're leaving the Torah.
Right.
Right? All those things, right, meaning, I think this is just a point that sometimes we forget, right, is that we jump into the Gemara, right, and to the Rishonim, and to the Poskim, right, but we forget that, where do they get these things? Right? From the Torah, right? That should be obvious. When you read the Psukim, you see that it really doesn't work. No, what do you think the halachic process is? We're building from the Psukim, from the Gemaras, right? We build top down. So even when they don't necessarily point, correct. And they're not necessarily pointing and saying, I'm interpreting this Pasuk in this way, and that's how I got to this.
Right.
But if you realize the greater background to the Sugyot, right, I mean, you go all the way back to the Torah, you realize that the principle's already there. Yeah. What are you saying, Max?
Yeah. What's the main message of this subject? Is that we should totally separate from non-Jews?
No.
Because, like, if you
did I say that? I didn't say that.
No, I'm just trying to get a grasp. The idea of mimicry, though, what, like, how do you define that? And what concept, socially or just religiously?
No, socially also, right? I mean, that's exactly the point. That's what we're dealing with, according to the Ramah. Right, as we saw, according to the Ramah...
One second, right?
According to the... What?
Say from the way we act to the way we talk.
Oh, okay, so good. Right, so this is what I already mentioned. The Midrash HaHalacha asked this question. Right, now the Midrash HaHalacha, I'll read it to you, right? This is a source one of my friends sent me, right, that he gave. But if you look, for example, Max, if you look in one of them, I'll read it to you, right? He says, Yochol yoyivnu binyanot v'lo yinatiyot kamotam. Right, you might think you can't build buildings or plant trees. Talmud lomar v'chukotehem lo teilechu. It's not, don't mimic them at all. It's don't follow their... Chukim. What?
Do I go to movies? Yeah.
Not often, but I do on principle.
You saw Harry Potter. So like,
yes, I did. On Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you saw.
But, correct. Now, the question of what counts is obviously part of the sugya. That's why we're going through it. But the Midrash asked a question. He said, it can't be everything. So he says, Ela lomar, zo lomarti, ela b'chukim ha-chakukim lahem, ulevotem lavot avotehem, umayi osim ha-ish, no seh le-ish ve-ish, le-isha, ha-ish no seh isha ubita, ve-ish nizit le-shnayim, le-kachan rechem, le-lote le-chu. So one possibility is, right, so remember, the key is going to be chok. And we said, there are two ways of understanding chok. And again, this is how it comes out. Not everything is also, only things which are chukim. And what can a chok mean? Either something which makes no sense, right? In which case, we're only doing it because of mimicry, right? Ramosha Feinstein goes as far as saying, we saw this last week, that if I do something because it's fun, that's not chukas akum, right? I'm not going to a movie because they do what I'm doing because I enjoy. That's enough of a reason to solve chukas akum. There might be other potential problems, but it's not a chukas akum.
Some people say that's chukas akum.
Correct, and where are they getting that from, right? They're getting that notion because, oh... Exactly, meaning if it's really related to Christianity, right, that would be the problem. I don't want to poskin anything until we get to the end.
Even though
right?
Christianity is based, it's supposedly based on all of this.
Who cares? Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Right? Right now. But in this one, right, in this Midrash Halacha, it solves the problem and says, oh, it's not a problem with everything. What is it? Right? He says two things. It's something that they always did, specifically things related to illicit relationships.
Right.
But in another Midrash Halacha, it says, right, so the Gemara assumes maybe it only meant idolatry. Right, maybe you'd say, well, we already said you can't do molech and you can't do magic and all those idolatrous things.
Right.
So it says, no, you know what's actually usher? Going to theaters and going to circuses. Right? Because what is this Midrash working on? Right? This Midrash is saying, look, if it was idolatry, you don't need to tell me. What's Chukas Akum adding? It must be things.
That don't make sense.
That, you're doing because they do it. Right? And that's why I said it's amazing that Moshe Feinstein says, well, no, going to a theater is not necessarily problematic. Right? Because, or at least for the reason of Chukas Akum. Because you're going because it's fun, not because they're doing it. Right? But this Sifra, at least, doesn't seem to buy that.
Right.
But again, all I wanted to do here, this is like, so this mini shear, is to point out that, right? These questions, right? The question of to what extent are we dealing with things that are problematic because of idolatry? Or to what extent is this adding on to idolatry and it's anything which we're doing because we're mimicking them, right? Or is it a problem that things that relate to promiscuity, right? The postmen don't pull this out of nowhere, right? They get it because the psukim themselves are in those contexts, okay? But the exact parameters is what we're going to have to flesh out. And like I said, we'll deal with some of the tshuvot. And then on Thursday, Broyd is going to give a shiur specifically on the holiday issues.
Nice.
Okay? But again, this should give you a little bit of a grounding to understand the different positions. The Ramah, the Gra, the Maharik, and the like, okay? So let's...